Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Whenever I hear the confessions of children or young adults, I'll always ask them if they are the youngest or the oldest in the family. Why? Because the oldest sibling in the family always bears the responsibility, and maybe even the burden, of setting the example for the younger siblings. The younger brothers and sisters are always looking and learning from the oldest brother or sister to see what is not only acceptable behavior, but behavior that will not be tolerated by either mom or dad. Now, if the penitent is the oldest sibling in the family, I'll tell them that they necessarily didn't ask for this, but instead it was placed upon them. Granted, it may seem unfair, but nonetheless, they do have a duty and responsibility to set the behavior, to be a good role model for their younger brothers and sisters. Today, as we celebrate the great feast, the great holy day of All Saints, we essentially celebrate the lives of our older brothers and sisters. Think of it. We are all bonded together through baptism. When we were baptized, we became brothers and sisters in Christ. We became the adopted sons and daughters of God the Father. Therefore, we can consider the saints as our brothers and sisters. And they have set the example for us all in many different ways. In our church, we have hundreds, even thousands of saints, many of them patrons and patronesses of different things. And we make them saints because of the wonderful example they've set by living out their faith lives. Whether it's caring for the poor, or being a gifted preacher, or whether it's being an intellect and being able to teach many people about the Bible, the life of Jesus Christ, or simply living a great spiritual life, these saints that we have, our brothers and sisters, are great role models for us all because they model such great faith. Let's give you some examples. Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict was born of a distinguished family in central Italy. He studied at Rome and early on in his life was drawn to the monastic life. At first, he became a hermit, leaving a depressing world, pagan armies on the march, the church torn by schism, people suffering from war. And yet he soon realized he could not live a hidden life in a small town any better than in a large city, so he withdrew to a cave high in the mountains for 3 years. Some monks chose him as their leader for a while, but found his strictness not to their taste. Still, the shift from hermit to community life had begun for him. He had an idea of gathering various families of monks into a grand monastery, to give them the benefit of unity, fraternity, and permanent worship in the house. Finally, he began to build what was to become one of the most famous monasteries in all of the world, Monte Cassino, commanding three narrow valleys running toward the mountains north of Naples, Italy. Benedictine then created his own rule that gradually developed a prescribed life of liturgical prayer, study, and manual labor, and living together in a community under a common abbot. The rule that Saint Benedict established later on became known as the Benedictine Rule and became the model for all Western monasticism in the Middle Ages, such that many of the major religious orders took on the rule of Benedict to help establish their monastic life. And that great Benedictine rule continues on in our own day and age. still used by many of the religious orders today. Saint Benedict is now known as the father of Western monasticism. How about Saint Catherine of Siena? Saint Catherine was the 23rd child born into her family, and she grew up as a very intelligent, cheerful, and intensely religious person. Saint Catherine disappointed her mother by cutting off her hair once as a protest against being overly encouraged to improve her appearance in order to attract a husband. Her father ordered her to be left in peace, and she was given a room of her own to pray and meditate. Later on, when she turned 18, she entered the Dominican Third Order and spent the next 3 years in seclusion, prayer, and austerity. Gradually, a group of followers gathered around her, men and women, priests and religious. An active public apostolate grew out of her contemplative life. Her letters, mostly for spiritual instruction and encouragement for her followers, began to become more and more the note of public affairs. In fact, it was Saint Catherine's influence that helped the church during a time in which she had three popes. In 1378, during this great Western schism, splitting the allegiance of Christendom, Saint Catherine worked tirelessly to unite the church under one pope, and she was able to accomplish that feat. But Saint Catherine also was a great mystic. She was able to communicate with our Lord Jesus Christ when she prayed, and people knew that. There's a great story in which one time villagers approached Saint Catherine of Siena, and they asked her to ask the Lord, why God made each and every one of us different. Why couldn't He make us all the same? Instead, some people are tall, some people are short, some people are wonderful at baking, others have wonderful voices that can sing, other people are great with their hands, building or fixing things. Why are we all different? Well, St. Catherine took this question to prayer, and after about 2 or 3 weeks, God finally gave her the answer. He said to St. Catherine, I could have made you all the same, given you the same skills, talents, and abilities. He said, if I did that, though, you would not depend upon one another. You wouldn't need each other. Instead, I gave each and every person different skills, talents, and abilities so that you would all have to rely upon one another. St. Catherine was always helping people, whether it was in the leadership of our church or in the spiritual life. What she left behind was probably the most precious gift, her book, The Dialogue, in which she literally dialogues with the Lord. Finally, the last saint I want to talk about is St. Catherine Drexel. She was born in 1858 into a very wealthy family in Philadelphia. She always had an interest in the plight of the American Indians, having been appalled by reading Helen Hunt Jackson's A Century of Dishonor. While on a European tour, she met Pope Leo XIII and asked him to send more missionaries to Wyoming so as to help the Native Americans there. The Pope replied, "Why don't you become a missionary yourself?" His answer shocked her in considering this possibility. Back home, she visited the Sioux and the Dakotas and began her systematic aid to Indian missions. She could have easily married. Giving this much thought, she finally came to an answer. On the feast of St. Joseph, she made the decision to give the remainder of her life to serving the Native American Indians as well as the African Americans of the United States. She spent her entire life savings, nearly $20 million, in helping them. After 3.5 years of training, she and her first band of nuns, the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament for Native American Indians and African Americans, opened a boarding school in Santa Fe, New Mexico. A string of foundations followed. By 1942, she had a system of organizing Catholic schools in 13 states, plus 40 missionary centers and 23 rural schools across the South as well as southwestern United States. Her greatest achievement was founding St. Xavier University in New Orleans, the first Catholic university in the United States of America for Native American Indians and African Americans. St. Catherine taught us a valuable lesson that we must take care of all people in our society, especially those that are less fortunate than us. Our saints, our big brothers and sisters, accepted the responsibility to teach us, and they did, in many different ways. And today we honor them because they are great role models of faith for us all. In the last few minutes, I just want to touch on the great feast of All Souls Day, that is, the day after All Saints, November 2nd. All Souls Day is a day in which we remember our deceased loved ones, family members, friends, and neighbors. And the Church has encouraged prayer for the dead since the earliest of times as a sign of Christian charity. If we had no care for the dead, St. Augustine once wrote, we would not be in the habit of praying for them. And so, the theological underpinning of the Feast of All Souls is the acknowledgement of the human frailty. Since few people achieve perfection in this life, but rather go to the grave still scarred with traces of sinfulness, some period of purification seems necessary before a soul comes face to face with God. The Council of Trent affirmed this purgatory state and insisted that the prayers of the living can speed the process of purification. Praying for the dead has been a Catholic tradition for the earliest days of our Church. At every Mass, we do pray for the dead. We should always pray for our beloved dead in our personal devotions. When we die, we hope the family and friends that we leave behind will pray for us with great intensity so we might be worthy of the purifying love of God. Death will always be a sobering prospect for human beings to face, but we Christians do it with confidence, knowing that there is new life beyond death. Our faith in Jesus Christ and His resurrection makes it possible for us to face this reality. We know we are going to die, but we all see death as the beginning of new life. As St. Paul once wrote, what you sow is not brought to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but the bare kernel of wheat. But God gives it a body, and He chooses, and to each of the seeds its own body. As seeds, we must decay in order to germinate and bring forth life. So death is merely a prelude to the resurrection of new life that awaits us all. And so we pray for all of our deceased loved ones. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed rest in the peace of Christ. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.